Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
I unmuted you.
Thank you.
Okay. These glasses are not doing well.
Well,
I guess I got to call tomorrow and make an appointment.
Yeah.
All right, I got 7 o'clock exactly. I will allow 7:05.
Okay.
And then I will start, and I will start with you.
Okay.
While you're waiting, you can mute all. It's on, but you're not muted, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that you're not muted. I have to get it in my mind. Okay, I'm going to be starting with Genesis and just sort of skip over some things to where I want to go tonight.
Okay.
It's all going to be in Genesis as far as I know.
Okay.
Okay. Did you get to read 9, 10, or 11?
Oh, that was our homework. Oops.
That's probably what everybody will say. Oh, that was what we were supposed to do? Yeah.
Genesis. Okay.
I was trying to find the gospel music on Gaither because there was one. You were not with us when we went to Billy's house. I think, was that when
his
mother died or?
I didn't go there. I've never been to Billy's house.
Okay. But what's his brother's name?
Bernice.
Cynthia and Bernice.
Bernice. Mm-hmm.
He was talking about when Bill Gaither recorded all the black artists and that.
Uh-huh.
And,
oh.
Yeah, but they didn't. Hello, Cheryl. Let me see. I'm going to mute you, Kelly. Can you hear me, Cheryl?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because I got to get used to this on and off again. So I'm glad you're here. You have your Bible with you?
Well, my iPad, I do.
Oh, okay. You have an app on your iPad for your Bible?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to be looking at 9, 10, and 11. We're looking at it. You don't have to try to read any of it. 9 we did for homework, but the others we're going to do something a little different. I'm waiting till 5 after, so I have like 3 more minutes, okay?
Okie doke.
Okay, I'm going to mute you back.
Okay.
Thanks. Hello, Francis. Glad you made it.
I tried.
Nothing beats a try, I always say.
I was looking for the number. It was in a different book that I have. I had it written.
Last week I was looking for the number. I'm like, what did I do? Numbers. I'm trying to be organized.
Yep.
We got like a minute more to go before we get started. So thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
I'm going to mute you back and wait for this other minute and whoever else is coming. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, it's 7:05 and we're going to start. Now, I want to first of all do a sound check and make sure you all can hear me, make sure I push the right buttons. If you can hear me, press 5-star. Okay, I need one more. Very good. Okay, thank you. I want to welcome you all back tonight and for the fall, and hopefully if you have any questions, you will remember to do 5-star, and I'll do my best to open you up so you can ask any questions you'd like to ask or add any comments. I'm going to ask that Kelly would lead us in prayer as we start our study tonight. Okay, Sharon, I was just wondering about you. No, it's Sandra. Okay, welcome, Sandra. We're just getting ready to start. Can you hear me? Just press 5-star if you can. I just did the sound check, and I want to make sure you can hear me. Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, let us pray. Kelly? Do I do something different? Kelly?
You forgot to unmute me. I was waiting for you to figure that out.
Well, I just did. Okay. All right. Let us pray. I'll be figuring out a lot tonight, my mind. Okay.
Okay. Father God, we thank you so much for meeting us here this evening. And we ask that you would be with us as we study your word, that you would just even light the path and help us to be able to hear and to discern what it is that you are speaking to us. Father, I lift up Reverend Abernathy to you. I pray, Lord, that you would use her this evening and direct her every step. Father God, I pray for every single person that's on the line, those that will come later, those that desire to be here. I pray that you would make their path easy, Lord. Father, we just thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now I mute you back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that we're all here tonight. Gotcha. And we're going to continue studying it in Genesis. We had gotten up to chapter 9, and we're just going to have a brief recap, and we're going to do some skipping tonight because there was one part of Genesis that leads us in, actually it leads us into the rest of the biblical knowledge we usually think about or know about if we've been in the church for any amount of time studying our Bible. So what I'd like for you to do first is to turn in your Bible or on your pads or your phones to Genesis, the 9th chapter. And you can do King James, or I have an ASV, and I'm only going to do a couple of verses from 9, because we know that by this time, this is the time when God remembers Noah and the waters start to dry up. And we went through last week about the waters drying up and what God asked of Noah when the waters dried up. So I'm going to start off with just Genesis, the 9th chapter, and that first verse. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you, meaning humankind, shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, with all wherewith the ground teemeth, and all the fish of the sea. And into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be food for you. As the green herbs have I given you all. And I'm stopping right there. It is almost like, does it sound familiar like when we did Genesis 1, the creation story, after God says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the things on the earth? It's like it's a reminder, this is the new earth. This is the new phase after God destroyed everything from the beginning. And so he's telling them the same things that he had told the world, the earth, before, and evidently they didn't really believe it or do it, and that's why he destroyed the earth. Now, we're going to, I would like for you to read these chapters on your own if you hadn't read them earlier, so that you can get a fuller understanding of what's going on. But you can always ask questions tonight if there's something that doesn't make sense or you don't quite understand. So don't feel bad. Just ask the question. If I have an answer, I'll share it with you. And if I don't, I won't. We'll all look it up together. But then after he tells them that be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, it's the same command that we were given in the beginning, and it's the same command that stands true for today, and we had talked about that earlier in the year. Now, I want us to look at, go to chapter 10, just go to chapter 10 and verse 1. These are the generations of the sons of Noah. Noah is the father right now of all the earth. After God put him in the ark, sent him, saved him through the flood. And it's Noah's sons that begin to produce all over the earth. And it gives you, chapter 10 is interesting. It's one of those sort of begat stories about every son and who their sons were. They kept saying, and we know about Ham and Shem and, what's his name, Jephthah. Those were the three main sons that were on the boat when the flood came. God had asked them to put the sons, their wives, and Noah's wife on there. So when we look at the beginning of chapter 10, it just tells you these are the generation of the sons of Noah, namely Shem, Ham, and Jephthah. And unto them were born sons after the flood. And that's what you see in primarily the entire chapter of chapter 10. You can go down to the end of 10, the last verse or so. Let's see. I think it's verse 32. After they name all the children that were born to them. And if you go down to 32, again, it ends with verse 31. And these are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nation. The thing that it shows us here is that after they started having families, they were sent, or they went all over the country, all over the world, so to speak. And that's why they make a point of saying, after their families and after their tongues, in their lands, because other lands, and after their nations. And I never thought about the fact that they went everywhere afterwards, because that is the setup for the next place we're going to be going. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation in their nations, and of these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now, this is when, after the flood's over, and people often ask, how did they get scattered? And it's probably just like any other group of people in a land. They decided they wanted to go explore and go to another place. And what it tells us when we go to chapter 11, this is getting to where God does what he can do to prevent them from getting totally out of hand. Verse 1 in chapter 11, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let's make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, I want us to think about that. What did they want to do? Did they need a tower? What was their purpose for building the tower? Anyone comment? What do you think the purpose was? What did they basically tell you they wanted to do? Nobody can't figure that one out? Let's look at it. Okay, I'm going to unmute you, Kelly. Go ahead.
Okay, Kelly? Well, it seems that what they wanted to do is they wanted to make a city, and they wanted something so high that it would reach the heavens, and they thought they were doing it to, like, make a name for themselves. And it, to me, it almost seemed like they wanted to maybe leave a mark.
Okay, they maybe wanted to leave a mark. But why the tower to heaven?
I mean, they give a reason, but I don't understand. I don't connect it. Because they're saying so that they can reach into heaven, let us make a name, less so that they won't be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So is it to show that they're close to God, or that they're trying to please God so that he won't scatter them? I'm not really sure.
Okay. I'm going to mute you back. The whole idea of what comes across for this portion was they wanted to, in a sense, it's almost the same as when the serpent told Adam and Eve in the garden, God knows you would be just like him. But they didn't know they were already just like God. And these people in Babel, and that was the name that was assigned to them, they said, come, let us build us a city. We're going to build us a city and a tower, and whose top may reach unto heaven. They wanted to reach unto heaven, not to see God, but to make a name for themselves. So often people they get involved in religion, and they think that everything should be hunky-dory and everything's going to be all right. We're going to be great. We're going to do this. And God may not be anywhere near what they're trying to do or what they want to do. God hadn't ordained it to be. Because when you look to see what happens next, you know that it was not of God. But they had probably seen a city or heard about a city, and they had bricks, and they were going to build their own and make a name for themselves, not make up. It was let us make us a name, not let us make God a name, not let people know that God is part of this. So lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They felt like if they couldn't become a city or a certain group, they would become scattered. And the whole point is, however they got to where they are now, there's nothing to say they're not going to travel east, west, because when it starts off, it says, when it came to pass as they journeyed east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. they decided to live where they were while they were traveling. And people today travel, they see other places, they want to live in other places. So they decide what's going to establish them where they want to be. So let's go on. And Jehovah came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men built. And Jehovah said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is what they begin to do. And now nothing will be withholding from them, which they purpose to do. So what God is really saying is, okay, now they've figured it out. If they all speak the same language and they decide to do anything together, it wouldn't be no problem. They could understand each other's language. They could come together and do whatever they wanted to do, in a sense, to become their own gods. And sometimes when we look at what's happening in today's world, especially in politics, that people become, they either want to be king or they want to be one leader, so to speak, and have everyone do what they want them to do, which they, whatever they purpose to do, says God, you know, they would be able to do it. So God came up with the idea, because he'd already promised not to destroy the earth again by water or to curse all humankind. So it says, let us go down and there confound their language. Now, the interesting thing is there's still an us. Did you notice that? In that seventh verse, come, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So they figure he could slow the ideas in that down if they weren't speaking the same language. They'd have to spend time trying to figure out what each one's saying. So Jehovah scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. He scattered them. The things that can happen today, it's like the fires out west and the floods and the things that's happening in the Bahamas and the things that happen all over the world. People get scattered. I remember Katrina. People left Texas and went all over the world because there was nothing left for them where they were. So sometimes when we are scattered, it's not necessarily because of earthquake, fire, storm, or whatever, but there may be a need for God to scatter to different places for different reasons. And we don't always think of that in that term, in those terms. Therefore was the name of it called Babel, because Jehovah did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did Jehovah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And these are the generations of Shem. And Shem was 100 years old and begat, we start again, he was 100 years old, and 2 years after the flood, he had sons. And Shem was the oldest of Noah's sons. And he lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. I've often wondered why or if the time frames that we see recorded in Scripture are accurate, the same amount of time is a year as we count it now. Do they really live 500 years as we would know, or did they have another way of counting? The only thing that I've seen reference to is the fact that there's a scripture, I believe it's in Isaiah, that said, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day to God, but I don't know that. So when you see these numbers in Scripture, try your best to find out if there's any more research done. because if he was 500 years and then he begot sons and daughters, even the biology is different. We don't know what that is. So we'll go on from there. Any questions or comments on what happened there? Or this tells us how language and people were scattered throughout the world. We see things in other parts of the world that are so different from the things we see in our part. Yesterday, I was watching something about Steve, I forgot his name, in Europe. He has a program on where he travels all over Europe. And they had a program about how different countries celebrate Easter and Christmas and the parades and that. So it's a lot of things that have happened that we really don't know anything about, but it's primarily because people were scattered. Kelly, you had a comment?
Well, I had a comment and maybe a question. I don't know. I was just going back to, like, verses 4, because I've always heard this story, but I never really stopped to study it or to really understand it. So, and as you were speaking and going through it, I had this thought or was just wondering if, and maybe that's what you said, and I'm just perceiving it in a different way, that because now they had the vision or the fact that they had the thought to build this city. So they got this vision from someplace. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, because if they're all divided, where else? Like, I didn't see anything saying there was anything like this being built similarly someplace else. So maybe they got the vision, but the motive was just totally off. Because remember, he said to go and to multiply and to replenish. Like, it almost fits with the, you know, with what God commanded us to do, but the motives were just totally off. Like, they were building us a city instead of building God a city is what came up to mind. And then I counted, I think it was like 4 or 5 times. Maybe it was just 4, where everything was us, us, us. So it's very clear that it was about what they wanted for their benefit, you know, to make them, you know, look good. I don't think necessarily that maybe the building a city could have been good if it would have been for the right reasons. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, and you're right about it in that look at verse 4 and just sort of look at it. And there in verse 4, we'll count them. And they said, come let us, number one, build who a city? Us, number two, and a tower that may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name for for ourselves. So it was always about themselves. Yeah. It wasn't the fact that they weren't replenishing, because there was nothing there to replenish, no tower before. Everything belonged to us. And that it, same thing applies today. Everything belongs to us. He's told us in his words over and over again. But for various reasons, we don't pursue what he has already given us. And we're always, and when they do, and you'll find later on, maybe in the same study, that they actually say, look what we've done for various things that the people in the Bible have done. When Solomon got ready to build the temple, he wanted to build the temple for anybody? God. He wanted God to have a place instead of, they would always tabernacle, meaning walk and pitch their tents and walk a little place else, and they were always on the move. But he wanted a tabernacle. He wanted a tabernacle that would be permanent. So he wanted to do this for God, and therefore he got to build the temple, and it became a place for prayer, for worship. But then they started using it for many other things as time went on, And by the time we got to Jesus' day, he had to whip people out of the temple because in the temple courts they were selling every kind of animal, everything, doing all sorts of celebrations in the temple itself. And that's why we have to guard against what we plan to do in a church setting, because it's not what God created it for through Solomon. He says, my house should be a house of prayer. And that's scripture. So when they say us, they wanted to do what they wanted to do for themselves, basically. Does that answer your question? Sort of. I muted you, so tell me if it doesn't or you want to add something else.
It answers.
Okay.
Okay, yep, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments or questions? Okay, so we know, where did we leave off? He scattered them, they left off building the city. Therefore was the name of it called Babel, or Babel, because Jehovah did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did Jehovah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And then it goes on to tell us about Shem's generation and who his children were and what they did. And you can finish reading that chapter on your own, because what I wanted to do is come down to verse 27 of that same chapter 11. I'm sorry, this moves. Verse 24, chapter 11. And Nahor lived 9 and 20 years. That's one of the youngest conceptions. Lived 9 and 20 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. Okay, I'm coming. Francis. Okay, Francis.
Well, I'm going back to the Tower of Babel or Babel, chapter 7.
Okay.
You know, I want you to go over again just why the Lord felt that it was not good for them to be on the same page. I'm going to use that phrase. He didn't want the people on the same page. He wanted them to think differently. Now, why did the Lord want the people to think in different ways? He didn't want them all to be on the same page, to think as one. What was the lesson for this particular way things were done about this tower, the way the people were building this, all they're all in union doing one thing, but the Lord felt that it was wrong that they were all in union. So what was his reasoning? I want you to go over that again, for wanting the people to speak different languages and be scattered, you know, all over, thinking in different ways, apparently.
Okay, we have to remember, first of all, that God just got through destroying, in God terms or time frame, okay? He just got through destroying the earth because man had become evil. And he made the statement of man would always be evil or do whatever they wanted to do. But he had promised he would not destroy humankind again or all the earth again.
Right.
Okay, so let's follow this in the way that when he says, when he doesn't want them to be on one accord, it was primarily, I would say, and what the scriptures shows us, it's primarily because when, you ever hear the expression, when you hang with the wrong crowd, you do the wrong things if they're doing the wrong thing?
Yes.
it's like this group of people, when they got together, they wanted to promote themselves. That's why we're pointing out the us's, the number of us. Let us make, let us do for ourselves, you know?
Okay.
And so that it, what they did would reach to heaven. The next step would be wanting to be God or saying that they are God.
Okay.
That we might reach heaven. Now, the minute someone thinks they reached heaven, they no longer have a need for God. It's like people who, they may work hard and everything and achieve a great deal. And they'll think that they did it all by themselves. And you'll hear them say, I did this myself. But if God hadn't put breath in their lives or brain in their head, they couldn't have done anything. And people don't always realize that. So I believe what it speaks to is the fact that it wasn't the fact that they came together to do something, but the fact of why they were doing it. What is your purpose? And that's always a question we have to ask ourselves as Christians. Why are we doing this?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, yes, the way you're, you know, explaining it, apparently the Lord felt that these people were at actually not, it wasn't good for, it wasn't a good thing what they, the way they were doing things.
Right.
It was not a good thing. They were on the wrong path.
Absolutely. And okay. We can be on the wrong path, you know, thinking that we're doing what God wanted them to do or whatever.
Okay.
But you got to think, too, that they had to have heard the stories of the flood.
Right.
There is a psalm. Write this down, each one, if you have a chance. Psalms 104. If we have to go, if we have time, we'll go to it. But Psalms 104 is, we're not sure if it's a psalm of David's or not, but it tells a story of what God has done and what God continues to do. That we can't really afford to say we did it. Like, we want to build this, we want to build that, and we have to say, okay, Lord, is this what you want built? That's one of a big struggle. What is your purpose, Lord, for what we do?
Mm-hmm.
What would you have us do?
Okay.
And he says he always wants his glory. It's all through Scripture that God says he wants the glory. So if we're taking the glory, what's happening?
We forget about God.
Absolutely. And he does not want to be forgotten.
Right.
Is it a little clearer?
That helps me. Thank you so much.
Okay, but if you have another question, we'll dig deeper and come up with the scriptures that will show even more so what's happening. And you might see it tonight before we finish this.
Okay.
So I'm going to mute you, and I'm going to open you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thank you. That does help me even more understanding it, because I think sometimes people can get confused because, yes, we're made in his image, but we are not to ever take God's glory. And I know that I can't think of any of the particular scriptures, but I know there's several scriptures throughout the Bible that talks about that. And even when you were saying, like, what happens when we start taking God's glory, it's like you forget about him, you think that you don't need him. You, like, so many things, you go down the wrong path, and like you said, it does go back to being in the garden again. You know, it's just another vehicle for the enemy to come in and to, you know, wreak havoc. So it was, I can see it now. See, sometimes in our natural eye, we look at that like, oh, why would God do that? And in fact, he did that for our benefit, for our good. So thanks, because I'm glad we spent more time on that, because I feel like I have a better understanding now.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to unmute you back. Okay, we were at 11, what, 24? Okay, we got to Tara. Now, Tara, and you, okay, here we 27. We'll start at 24, 25. Nahar, which was from the line, the lineage of Noah, from the lineage of Shem, the oldest son of Noah. And he lived, and he begot a son named Terah. And Terah, I wanted us to get here and appreciate what we start to know about Terah, because Terah becomes the father of the what we would call the father of faith, okay, who is Abraham. So Terah had sons and daughters, and Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram. Abram is later going to have his name changed to Abraham. But Terah was Abraham's father, and you'll see what happens coming up. Nahor and Haran, H-A-R-A-N, Haran, they were three sons of Terah. But this is going to tell you now, verse 27, now these are the generations of Terah. So it's a rundown of Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. Is somebody? No, I don't see that. Okay. Haran is Abraham's brother, or Abram's brother. Now these are the generations of Terah. We get Haran, Nahor, and Haran begets Lot. Lot is going to be Abram's nephew. Okay? Keep this in mind. This lineage is important. All of them are important, but these are the ones you see throughout Scripture. Haran died after he had his son Lot. He died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. You may have heard that somewhere in church, but they used to always talk about the Ur of the Chaldees, which is it's like saying the island of Hawaii or something. And Abram and Nahor took them wives, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. The daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. And Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran. So Terah takes Abraham his son, his grandson Lot, his son's son, son of Haran, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. Okay, these are the characters. We got Lot, the grandson. We got Abram, the son. Sarah, the son's wife. And they went forth from where they were living in the Ur of the Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran. And this is a hard one to deal with, because the city that they came to on their way to Canaan was named Haran, which is the name of the son who died. And they dwelt there. And it, you have to try to figure out, or you don't have to, figure out why they stopped in Haran. But it could have been something as simplistic as, oh, here's a city named after my son. Let's just stop and stay here. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. He stopped in Haran. He decided to stay there, and he actually stayed there until he died. Okay? Then we go to chapter 12, the first verse. Now Jehovah, God, said unto Abram, here they are in Haran, and God speaks to Abram. Before this, you never see God speaking to Abram. Okay? But once the father dies, God says to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make you, will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and be thou a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you, and him that curses you will I curse, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, what happens here, this is something that I'm hoping we will take time to consider. This is something that God comes and says to Abram, because he's not Abraham yet. He's saying, get out of your country and away from your kinfolk and away from your father's house. But he doesn't tell him where he's going. And I always think this is so interesting and powerful, because oftentimes God is trying to lead us in places that's going to bless us and bring good to us. But if we don't listen or we don't understand how God speaks to us, then we'll miss the whole point. But when he tells him to get away from his family, well, unto the land that I will show you, he's telling him, I want you to go somewhere. I can't tell you now where it is, but I just need you to go, and you don't need to take anybody in your family, anybody with you. Why do you think that was? And he tells him he's going to make him great. And usually in this day and time, if somebody wants to be great, they want their family and everybody else to know about what's happening in their lives. But why do you think God said that? We really need to pause a minute and look at that. He says, get away from your father's house. Go be independent, basically, I guess. And he's saying, I just don't want you to take anything that you shouldn't have. It's sort of like I remember when Jesus tells the, I had you open. I'll stop. I'll open you. Go ahead. Kelly?
Yes, you asked a question about why would God tell him to get away from his kindred. And my thought on that is because a lot of times, you know, one, God, you know, was leading the way. He had a plan. He knew what he was going to do. And a lot of times our families become distractions, even though we love them. And sometimes they end up actually competing against God in terms of our decision-making and the things that we do. For those of us who are parents, I mean, there's not anything that we wouldn't do for our children. But we need to ultimately listen to God and to seek him for direction, because at the, you know, the end and the beginning of the day, he knows what's best. So I think it was more or less a distraction so we could be free and clear to hear, not only hear from God, but to be obedient to what he had to say without the pulling. You know, our families can pull on us.
Yeah, they can also talk you out of doing what God is calling you to do.
Right.
We need a relationship that is with God, that is above all other relationships in your life.
I have to add something, if I may.
Go ahead.
What I wanted to add is that it's not, because sometimes we can look at that and think that, oh, that's in, like, if it's a situation that's unhealthy. But there are good things. Like, everything can be well, but it still ends up being a distraction, and we can end up still disobeying God, even when it seems like it's something good or something we ought to do. But we still have to put God first.
Absolutely. The thing that I noticed, too, in that same verse, but he tells them to get out of the country, not just the city, but the country, the land where he was, like in Haran. He says, get away from there, because evidently what God wants to do in his life can't be done, or he doesn't want to do it. I won't say can't be done, because God can do it anywhere he wants. But he's saying, get out of your country, get away from relatives, from your father's house, and go to a land that I'll show you when you get there. And I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to mute you back, Kelly. Anyone else? Trying to look at both. He's promised to make him a blessing and to bless him. And anybody that comes along will be blessed. Anyone that blesses him will be blessed. Anyone he encounters, he will be a blessing. Do you ever think about how to be a blessing to people? Do we give a lot of thought? Because now that, you really can go back and see that, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. When you're a blessing to someone, you're replenishing maybe their spirit, maybe their mind, maybe their bodies. Whatever you do can come under that heading of being a blessing, be blessed to bless. And he says, I'll bless them that bless you, and him that curses you, I will curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And all the families of the earth did not mean just right there in Abraham's day, but it was perpetual, just like when God created everything in the earth and the universe, he made it all perpetual. Everything that he made can reproduce after its own self. And so can the blessings or the curses. And it's in the blessing. He says, I will bless them that bless you, but I'll also take care of those who curse you. You don't have to take care of those who curse you and do stuff. God says he'll do it. I'm going to open you. Okay, go ahead.
I can't hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
It was just a quick comment. That's something I noticed in that verse where he says, and I will bless thee and I will make thy name great. And remember what we just read when we were talking about the Tower of Babel? And they said, and we will make our name great. And here again is showing that, no, it is not for us to make our name great, but for God to make our name great. But it just shows, you know, the opposite.
The difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was all I just mentioned.
Okay. And the other part of that, too, was there was nothing to indicate that Abram wanted to make himself great.
Right.
We don't see anything about Abram saying, I want to be great, even when God approaches him with the request. I'm going to mute you back. Okay, when God approaches him with the request, so Abram went as Jehovah had spoken to him. Oh, it's time already. Abram went as Jehovah had spoken unto him. And here's the rub. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Who is Lot? Anybody? When you look at that, remember I gave you the characters? Who is Lot? It says that Lot went with him. Ah, Cheryl.
It's Nephi.
Wait a minute. I got to unmute you. Go ahead. Cheryl?
Oh, his nephew.
And what part of him taking his nephew do we need to see?
Well, I know that story, but I'm wondering now why. Oh.
Look at the first verse, verse 1 of chapter 12. What does it say? Read it out loud.
I find it. Verse 1, chapter 12. Okay, let's see.
Chapter 12, verse 1.
Yeah, I'm on verse. I have to go back a little bit.
Okay.
Why don't you have somebody read it?
Okay, I'm going to read it, and you just listen and tell me what part was violated, okay?
All righty.
Now Jehovah said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house.
Well, that's what I want to know. Why? I didn't hear that say anything about Lot. Sounds like he had to leave. But I
okay.
didn't know about him taking Lot with him.
Okay, can anybody help on this one? Who's your kindred? What does kindred mean?
Well, the rest of your family.
Ah, absolutely. And who is Lot to Abram?
Nephew.
Ah, so is he a kindred?
Yes.
Okay. That's the part we want to get clear because later on when they leave, Lot becomes a thorn in the flesh, so to speak. And if he had not taken Lot with him, he probably would not have had the incidents in that occurred because Lot came along. If he says, get away from all your kindred, and that's what it says, and from your father's house, but he let him come along. You know, you can imagine Lot having, oh, uncle, please let me go or whatever. And he just gave in and let him go. But the fact is, if God gives you instruction, we need to follow his instructions to the letter as best we know how. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm going to say it's not clear to me why he chose Lot.
You know, it doesn't say why he chose Lot, but it says that Lot went with him. And okay. Lot went with him. And I see it as maybe he wanted to go with his uncle. He didn't know what his uncle was doing, but he wanted to get out of there. You know, he didn't want to live there. His father was dead. His grandfather was now dead. So Abram didn't have any children. So he just probably wanted to go. I'm going to mute you back, Cheryl, but five star after the comment, okay? If you need to. Okay? Kelly?
I think that, you know, the fact that, yes, Lot's father had died, and it appeared that Terah was kind of charged with his care, or he had either custody or care of him. And so now at this point, Terah, the grandfather slash Lot, Abraham's father, died. And so it's that need, you feel like, of the responsibility. And I think a lot of us maybe can relate to that. If it's a family member and our sibling isn't there, and you're the oldest and the next, you feel that a responsibility to take care of. And I think he just felt that responsibility that, you know, he had to bring him along. But again, I think it is a good point that, you know, just because we think that's how it's supposed to be, and, you know, family takes care of family and all these different things that we hear, it still should not supersede being obedient to God. But I just think it was a natural kind of reaction or responsible, feeling responsible.
Okay, because the grandfather was gone, and he would have to stay with friends or whatever, or just make his own life. It is 8 o'clock now. We're going to stop where we are, but I had two assignments. We're in, right now, we're in chapter 12. And if you can this week, and if you make time, you can. There is really three chapters. Do one a day if it's hard for you. Go from where we are in 12 and finish chapter 15. So you got 12, the finish, and then 13, 14, 15. And they're not, I don't think, well, no, they're not really long. And don't worry so much about the names that are in there, because they'll throw you off. And what I want you to do is look up, for next week, covenant, like covenant. What is a covenant? And also, there are five different kinds of covenants in the Bible. And I want you to, if possible, to see if you can find all five and what they mean. Because that's where this comes in when Abram starts to listen to God. That's when we need to understand what covenants are and what's going to happen there. So if you can go to 12 and through 15, go through the end of 15 if you can. And we'll do the best we can moving in that direction by next week. Before we close with prayer, are you supposed to be? Let's see, I have unmuted. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Because I hate for you to leave in some things on your mind that you just need an answer to. Anybody? Nobody? Well, I'm glad for each of you being present. I'm glad for your input. If Thursday night's not working for you, let me know. I said, we'll be flexible in changing if there's enough people who want to change. But if Thursday is fine, we'll continue on. We're only doing it once a week this fall. So Tuesdays or Thursdays are the days that are available for it. So right now we're doing Thursdays. So if you'd like to change up, you can. Also, if you go to the church's website, I believe the numbers in there are there. And I'm not certain, but Kelly, is there recording? Let me unmute you, because Kelly?
I haven't uploaded last week's yet, but there's recordings from, not all of them, but there's some recordings from the last time in, before summer when we started.
Okay, so if you like and you want to hear something again, go to the church's website, and I think everybody on here tonight knows what that is or have access, except maybe Francis. Francis, I will get you a website address, okay? So let us, if there are no comments, questions, anything before we have our prayer, our closing prayer. All right. Let us pray. I'm going to mute you back, Kelly. Our Lord and our God, we thank you so much. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for opening our minds, our spirits to receive your word. Continue to teach us. Reach within the depths of our beings and help us to become the children of knowledge that you would have us to have. Help us to not only hear the word, study the word, but help us to be the word. Open us up so newness can reign over us. We pray for all of those here and are not able to be here tonight. We ask you to continue to bless those who are ill, those who have a desire to be well and healed, all those who seek you for comfort, for direction, for power. In your Son Jesus' name, help us continue to bless us with your word. In Jesus' name, we pray and we all say, Amen. Good night.